That's a euphemism for when you can't stop playing with your balls.
Megan!
Listener, I know you can't see, but I have chubby little hands.
And they're Sensei Ben!
Because you never know when your opponent is going to be a total moron.
They're dropping Magic the Gathering knowledge like you might drop a carton of eggs! Everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateurish.
It's a podcast. You're listening to it, and it's about Magic the Gathering. It's a card game that maybe you've played before. If not,
welcome.
Things are going to get confusing.
But not super confusing, because we talk really slow.
We'll talk to you like you're foreign.
Hey, where's the bathroom?
My name is Ben, I'm your host, and I'm joined by your co-host, Maria.
I'm also a host, Ben is one of my co-hosts.
And Megan, that's me, I'm your host, and Ben and Maria are my co-hosts.
Right.
Correct,
we have some power issues.
We really do.
Give me that button.
It is like ancient Rome over here.
Which is appropriate.
Because
Theros is coming out soon.
What's Theros?
You guys, Theros is a brand new Magic set. Who's excited pre-release this weekend? No, sorry, next weekend.
Well,
but
wait,
depending on when you're listening
to this, it will be the coming weekend.
Oh, I was right.
This weekend. Yay.
Unless you're listening to it a week after that, then you missed it, and you might as well just go sleep in a cave until next fall.
And of course, Ben and Maria and I are time travelers, so we've actually already been.
We played it.
Theros.
We've played it.
Release.
Yeah. Well, we went too far.
Yeah,
we went way too far. We played M2017.
Yeah, that's when the world is gone. And all that's left are sex robots and fish.
And they play Magic the Gathering.
And they're good.
They're really good.
The sex robots know all the M17 archetypes.
Oh my god, yeah. I know.
They're on it.
The Omni Mill, the blue green, transparent Omni Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I hate that blue green transparent Omni Mill deck.
What we're trying to say is we're a podcast for learners or people coming back to the game or people who like to smile and have a giggle in their tummies. Ben.
Or in their mouths. Where I keep mine.
Or anywhere else you would like to have a giggle in your private time. Ben taught Megan and I how to play Magic back in October of 2012.
I'm so sorry.
And now we have a show about it.
Yep. That happened fast.
It did.
It was like a downward spiral. If it was the tightest spiral staircase you've ever been on.
It was like a pneumatic elevator.
Yes. Or it
in
was
Willy
like
Wonka.
It was like a fireman's pole.
Everybody, Ben has a pneumatic desk.
He does.
It's not pneumatic.
What is it?
It's motorized.
It goes up and down.
It goes up and down.
Wait, if it was pneumatic, wouldn't it just like shoot?
It would be super fucking dangerous.
Ben, don't you like to work dangerously just like you live?
Yeah.
Ben, I dare you to get a pneumatic
Ben,
desk.
I dare, double dare you.
God, fuck, fine.
You have to do it. Everybody, we've got a super great show for you today. We've got a For the Noob segment about the keywords based on colors. So you might learn something, and if you don't, you might not learn something.
And maybe that's for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan's going to talk about Friday Night Magic. She's been playing some Constructed.
Woo!
Really excited about that. We've got Card of the Week from Theros, Euphemism of the Week, Misplay of the Week.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
boy. That's going to be painful. And as I'm sure you've noticed, we have a new theme song, you guys. Let's say a few words. Goodbye to Len, Steal My Sunshine.
Len.
Yeah.
Steal My Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You were always there for me. You would think on a cloudy day, because I couldn't see you, you weren't, but you were there and I could feel your warmth.
Mm-hmm. I could never understand the fucking words of your song, but you were still near and dear to my heart.
You know, some songs have really well-placed breakdowns. And you were not one of those songs.
No,
really not.
But somehow that just made you even more attractive.
That girl in the music video, you guys look really happy together.
Yeah.
And I hope that you are.
I mean, it seems like you're probably super codependent. Like, you can't function apart
you're
from each other.
You're always in the same place.
And, like, we can't even hang out with one of you without hanging out with the other one.
No.
And so it's basically impossible to have a real friendship with either one of you anymore. But
good luck.
But we'll miss you.
We'll miss you a lot.
Yeah.
Also, if you make a Pandora station based on Len Steal My Sunshine, you have the best party mix you've ever had.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yep. As long as you don't try to limit it only to Len's. That will not turn out well.
No.
For the noobs.
For the noobs.
Noob time. Okay, guys.
Sweet.
What? This is our segment where we lay down the most basic thing.
Yeah, lay down the law. But like the basic law is like you might find in a traffic handbook.
So if you're new, listen up.
So sometimes you look at a card, at least for a long time I did, and I was like, oh yeah, I know that that there are these things like flying and trample and reach, etc.
Yeah.
But I did not realize for the longest time that they are each typically associated with one or two colors.
Yes. Yeah. That is true.
And you'll see it, like, when Theros is coming out now, you'll see it in a new set. You'll see certain colors have familiar keywords.
Ooh.
Mm. You might even be able to predict which colors will have what.
It's just like having stereotypes about the races.
It is, except that these are all true.
Oh, yeah, right. That's the big
difference.
Like,
all Bens are really smart. Not true, you guys.
Not true.
That is so racist.
So what can we expect, you know, like from, say, we've got red, green, blue, black, and white. And each of these has specific keywords that never the twain shall cross.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
No.
Okay.
So there's a thing in Magic called the color wheel. And the idea behind the color wheel is that the abilities and things you can do in Magic are split up between the different colors. But most of the abilities will have one primary color, and then they'll also bleed into like one other color. Some will bleed into more than one other color. And once in a while, there are some abilities that are just like almost exclusively in one color.
Okay.
Nice. Well, let's talk about what some of those are, huh?
All right. So what's in red?
Red is haste.
Yeah, red is haste.
First strike.
And first strike.
Yeah, those are the big ones in red.
It also, I've noticed, like, again, this isn't exclusive, but if there's a creature that, say, when it enters the battlefield, or it can in some way tap to do damage directly to a creature or a player, that usually tends to be red. Like a thorn.
Yeah.
Thorncaster sliver. Is one, or like Lobber Crew.
Mm-hmm.
How about a lava axe? That's direct damage.
Yep. Direct damage is almost exclusively red. Most cards that do direct damage are red. Once in a while, there'll be like a black card that'll do direct damage, like Corrupt or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then also sometimes white can do it, but only like white can only do it in response. Like if you tried to do damage, it can like do damage in response.
It's battling evil.
Exactly.
It's a peaceful color.
It's just. Haste is mostly red. But once in a while, there'll be a green or a black creature that has haste. And First Strike is mostly red, but there's a lot of white cards that have First Strike.
Oh,
as well.
You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're getting a little bit of cross-pollination on the old Punnett square.
Okay. Can we go through real quick and say, like, so a red creature with haste, just off the top of my head, is like Blur Sliver.
Yeah.
A green creature with haste is...
There was one in...
There's Crater Hoof Behemoth.
Yeah, Crater Hoof Behemoth. There was one in Innistrad or in Dark Ascension. It was like Wood Stranglewood Geist.
Oh, yeah, Stranglewood Geist.
2/1 with haste and undying.
Why didn't we have Euphemism of the Week back then?
No, Stranglewood Geist.
Strangle Root.
I have nothing for that one.
And then Black... There was like a skeleton in one of the sets that was like haste.
But primarily this is red.
It's mostly red, yeah.
Primarily red.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on our color wheel, what color comes next?
Black.
Black.
Love it.
Has Death Touch.
Has Death Touch?
Yes, which it shares a lot with green.
Shares with green.
And Lifelink.
Yep.
Which it shares with white.
White.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does Black have anything of its own to call its own?
Not on creatures, not creature abilities. It has discard.
Oh, sure.
Highly exclusively. There's only like one or two spells in other colors that would discard.
Nice.
But yeah, that's the main thing. It also has like drain effects where you steal life from your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like these abilities are kind of built around what you would expect coming from these colors, which is kind of cool.
Black is yes. coming and it's sucking the life out of you. And it I'm gaining it.
It definitely fits into the flavor. Red is very instantaneous, so they'll do a lot of things like make a creature unable to block, but they have problems with the long game. Like they can't,
right.
they yeah. can't finish the job.
I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna punch you in the face, but now I'm really tired.
Right. Yeah. Or like, I'm going to lava axe you, but I
don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
So this is kind of interesting, though. This is important stuff to know if you're a new player, because it's going to actually help you build your deck, if you think about it. Because you're going to need to realize what strength red has, what strength black has. Mm-hmm. So if you're Rakdos, say, for instance, in Return to Ravnica, my favorite guild, you guys, you're going to have to realize.
That's the black and red guild?
That's right. Mm-hmm. What are the strengths of these colors? Well, you know, it's direct damage, it's hitting fast, it's early, it's death touch, a lot of killing is involved. Mm-hmm. So if you're drafting, you know, this is important to keep in mind when you're drafting the strengths of the colors you have in playing to those strengths. Mm-hmm.
Faux show.
Black also gets a creature removal, like the unconditional creature removal is usually in black.
Doomblade.
As opposed to just doing damage to a creature, it can just destroy creatures.
Can any other color destroy a creature?
White does a lot of exiling.
White gets to destroy sometimes, like attacking creatures or blocking creatures.
Oh, you're right.
That's true.
And I think red occasionally will get something that lets it destroy a creature. But
next color. Green has trample.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty exclusive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, red gets some trample as well.
They do?
Oh, that's true.
Once in a while.
Every once in a while. And death touch. We talked about that a little bit.
Yep. And also reach.
Ooh, that's pretty exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. Green is basically the only color that has reach.
Reach is the only strictly monogamous
keyword
out there.
So think of it. It makes sense because the vines are reaching up the tree to strangle your sea kite.
Also,
that sea kite had a family.
Also, green is the only color that basically never gets flying creatures.
Yes.
There are only maybe like two or three flying green creatures.
Birds of Paradise.
Birds of Paradise, yes. there was that one card in Modern Masters that was like a 4/4 green flyer. For some reason. There's been like a few green dragons that have flying just because they have to have flying.
Just out there.
But think about Spire Tracer from Return to Ravnica.
It was like a faux flyer.
It was a faux flyer.
A faux flyer.
It could only be blocked by creatures.
It was like a mullet. It was flying in the front.
Yep.
When it was attacking. But
walking
not,
in the back.
But in the back.
I love that. And don't make the mistake I did, which is think that it has flying.
Nope, it can't block a flyer.
It can't block a flyer, Maria.
That's when it's doing its partying. It's partying and back. It can't
it's a
block.
Mullet.
Just because your mom told you have flying doesn't mean you have flying, Maria.
She told me I could jump off this bridge, Ben.
All right, and next is blue.
Blue, flying.
Blue, the big one with blue is flying.
Flying's a real slut, though. I mean, it gets around.
Yeah, there's a lot of flying in white as well. There's some in black and the tiniest sprinkle in red.
There's those dragons. There's some red dragons.
Yeah, mostly in red. It's just the dragons that get to fly.
It's the dragons.
Yeah.
Dragons.
You get some nice enchantments that let you fly in red.
Shift Embrace.
Yes.
It pretty much makes you a dragon. It makes you a dragon.
Makes you a dragon.
Oh,
just makes
right.
you a dragon.
Yeah.
It's dragon-based flying.
The dragon.
I have a new recipe. It's dragon-based.
What?
You put down a nice little base layer of
dragon
and then
in
you
there.
Just mix in whatever vegetables Sprinkle. You want.
Oh man, I have some dragon stock.
Oh, you don't want to use that. You want to use fresh dragon.
Oh my gosh, I love dragon stock soup.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I have a nice like base. I have this dragon stock. And
like,
I'm going to make a soup.
Sprinkle like a crispy griffin top.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, crispy
this
griffin.
This tastes mythic.
That was so far from delicious.
Oh my God.
That was so far from delicious.
Mythic.
Blue also gets counter spell type effects, not usually on creatures. They get card draw. They get the most card draw. They're more they're less creature based than other colors, especially green, especially
green
white.
Green is very creature heavy and big creatures too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fatties. Green fatties, that's a term.
Yeah. Like Hufflepuff, where all the fat kids belong.
But their color isn't
oh,
green.
Oh God. What are
they're
they?
They're blue and yellow.
How do you
blue
know that?
Let's not talk about it.
But their magic.
Moving on.
Their magic color would definitely be green.
It's blue and yellow.
But for Hufflepuff. But if they were in magic, they would be green.
Colors. And Gryffindor would be white.
Gryffindor would be white.
Yeah.
And Slytherin would be black.
Yes.
Oh, totally.
And Ravenclaw would be blue for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Wow.
You guys,
we just knocked that one out.
And the other school that Victor Krum is from, that would be red.
That would be red. Durmstrang.
Yeah. Holy shit, Megan.
Shut up, you guys. Whatever. Whatever. It's Harry Potter. You're just supposed to know this.
These fit remarkably well. I'm sorry. That's really cool.
It comes down to human psychology. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Freud wrote about the five magic colors a lot.
Oh, he did. He did.
His doctoral work.
If you primarily play black, you want to fuck your mother.
Yeah.
That's what he wrote. I didn't say it.
That's what
it's Freud.
But that's what you play.
You play black.
Oops.
Okay.
Oops. Sorry, Mom.
How about white?
White gets first strike, as we mentioned before.
Yep.
They get flying. They get damage prevention.
Ooh, they get vigilance.
They get vigilance. Yeah.
The shittiest vigilance. Of all keywords.
Vigilance?
No, it's not.
What do you think is the worst?
The worst keyword?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Of these colors.
Matter of opinion.
Maybe haste?
Okay.
Yeah. Let me see. I can't think of all the ones that we've thought
of. I suppose it's very contingent on what's happening.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on
the
situation.
They all have their time and place.
Yeah.
Yeah. White exile, as we said before, as well.
Yeah, it gets to exile things. It has like arrest type effects where it can lock creatures down, prevent them from attacking or blocking.
Like pacifism.
Yeah.
Or arrest. The worst pacifism.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It also has life gain.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
So just kind of like...
And some flying, and it has a lot of like teamwork effects, where it's like
everybody gets
+1/+1.
If we work together, things are going to be just so much better.
If just one of you in this office exceeds your sales orders, you'll all get
Everyone gets cake. Whereas black is very much, if you consume someone else in the office, then you can have cake. If you just eat that person,
you just
I'll get you +2/+2 worth of cake.
I will gladly become a cannibal.
And green is like, who's the tallest person in the office? You get cake.
And blue's like, steal his filing cabinet.
Look, once we build this cake machine... We're going to have so much cake.
We'll always have cake, and we'll have cake whenever you want it. It's
going
to
take a while to build that cake machine, though.
And red is like, guys, I ate the cake on the way here.
I didn't realize that the back of a magic card is designed to look like a book. Mm, it's like the little cover of a book, because it's your book of spells.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, you know how it's called your library?
It's your MFing library.
Oh my god.
The original like starter box also looked like
it looked like a little box. Yeah, it had
like
little
pages.
Book binding.
You guys just blew my mind.
Did we?
Yeah. I didn't even know until I read this, and then I looked at the back of a magic card and I'm like, that's why it looks familiar.
Yeah.
Because I read a lot of heavy magic textbooks.
And when you're done, you always feel like, oh, well, I've lost now.
Yep, I always feel
I've lost. I'm out of pages to read, and therefore I've lost the game.
I really milled myself out of this book.
Shouldn't it be a pile for burning instead of a graveyard?
Oh, like a trash can to put it in a crumpled up pages?
Yeah.
Or just like, maybe it should be like, you have to put it just to the left of your library. So it's like you're turning over the pages.
Or it's the return bin at the library.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you have to like flip your library over onto your graveyard and pick it up. That's how you concede instead of scooping. You're just like, I'm going home.
So, Ben, you recently had an epic misplay.
Oh, yeah.
Misplay of the week.
It was pretty bad. So, I was playing a game of Momir Basic.
What the heck is that?
Ben, tell us.
This is a game in which you get like random creatures. So you basically have a button that makes random creatures, and you just keep pressing the button. And
you have a hand of only lands, right?
You have a hand of only lands, and you just like get, I'm going to spend 7 mana and get a random 7 drop. I'm going to spend 8 mana and get a random 8 drop. So the games are just a lot of creatures. And usually what happens is you play out a lot of guys. No one can really attack because everyone just has a lot of really good blockers. And then eventually someone gets an absurd 8 drop wins the game.
This is on Magic Online. P.S. Don't try this in real life. It won't work.
It's pretty hard. So I had this card called Vengeful Archon. It's a 7 drop. It's a 7/7 with flying. And it says, pay X. Prevent the next X damage that would be dealt to you this turn. If damage is prevented this way, Vengeful Archon deals that much damage to target player.
OMG.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's pretty good because he can attack pretty easily. And usually once you have this guy out, you can just keep all your mana open and just wait for your opponent to attack. Because they basically have to do... They have to do like so much damage to you that you can't redirect it to him and kill him.
And there's no kill spells in Momir. There's only creatures.
No. So like the only way to kill a creature is to have a creature that can kill creatures or like has an enter the battlefield effect.
Yikes.
So my opponent had a couple flyers out, but I managed to do enough damage to him and get enough land out that I knew even if he attacked me, he had some 8/8 dragon that has haste and trample and fire breathing. So he could just make that like a 12/8 or something.
Yeah.
And then he had another flyer. So, but I had enough mana to redirect and kill him. So he came in and I was like, okay, so I used the ability. But I targeted myself. Cause I'm like,
dude, I've targeted myself with Blast of Genius. I know how it feels.
Yeah. This is,
you redirected.
Yeah. The damage from myself. To myself
again.
Because I forgot. I was like, how does this thing work? Ad says I'll target myself to prevent this damage, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, and then it'll ask me to target him too, right? Because some effects like this have multiple targets.
Yeah.
Yep.
So damage prevention effects actually are really tricky. They're really inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like there's lots of different cards. So if you're ever preventing damage online, just make sure you read the ability.
Read that little box.
Read the card.
Read that little box over on the side that's asking you what you want to do right
because
now.
Because sometimes you're preventing the damage from target creature, and sometimes you're preventing the damage to target creature or player.
As gotcha. Ben says to me, Maria, what does the card say?
What does the card say? Yeah. So in this case, it says deals that much damage to target player. So I should have targeted my opponent instead of myself. Fortunately for me, my opponent conceded. Like he saw it, he's like, well, I can't win now, concede. So there's two lessons here. One is read the card, and the other one is like, you don't have to concede.
Yeah,
like,
don't
you can
concede.
Just, if you're playing on Magic Online, you can let Magic determine who won.
Just
because you never know
what
when your opponent is going to be a total moron.
And you guys, that happens in real life too. Because I had that happen a little bit at FNM last week, where there was a guy where I was like, all he needs to do is swing back with everything and I die.
Yeah.
Like I have a blocker that will kill one of his dudes, but the damage from the rest of his dudes is still more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, like pass turn back to you.
Yep.
And then he doesn't swing with everybody.
Yep. Make him do it.
And it's like, make him do it. Well, I mean, thank you.
The only exception I'll say is if you're running short on time, like if you know time is going to be an issue, you might not be able to finish your match. Or if you're on Magic Online and your timer is much lower than your opponent's, you might want to concede just to conserve time and get on to the next game.
That's smart.
Otherwise,
good advice as well.
Make him use that knife.
Yeah. Otherwise, make him, you know, don't give anything away for free. It's a battle. It's a battle out there.
Card of the week.
Theros edition.
Mm.
So mine is essentially, I mean, it has some other name, but it's Trojan Horse.
Trojan Horse.
Trojan Horse.
That's so cool. It's so flavorful. I want to lick
so
it.
It's so flavorful. It's disgusting.
Megan, what the heck does this card do?
Well,
Ben's looking it up. Don't worry. Ben, what the heck does this card do?
Well, it's an artifact creature, horse, and it's a 4-drop. It's an 0-4.
Sweet.
It has defender, so it's an 0-4 with defender, which is fine. You're probably not going to attack with an 0-4 anyway.
Yeah.
And when a Crowan horse, it's called a Crowan horse.
Whatever.
A Trojan horse.
Enters the battlefield, an opponent gains control of it. What? At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent puts a 1/1 white soldier creature token onto the battlefield. And because you've given it to an opponent, that means you get the 1/1
yes.
soldier tokens.
Nice. Well, you guys, I gotta say, first off, I'm a huge fan of a Crowan condom.
Yeah. They're
a Crowan condom.
They're quality condoms. They're easy to apply and mechanically tested.
My high school was the Crowans.
Oh, yeah. I think that was our mascot also.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We were the hiders.
The hiders?
Yeah, we were the people that were in the horses.
In the horse. Oh. What do you think of this card, Ben? Like,
the hiders.
I looked at it.
I think you mean you're the Crowans.
Good point. Okay. I looked at this and I was like, that's no fair. They get my blocker. But then I was like, wait a tick.
Wait a tick.
I just get 1/1s forever.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of things to attack with once you give them this horse. I don't know. It seems like you need to have something pretty good to do with all those 1/1s before you're going to want to play this. But
get an Elspeth.
Exactly.
Get an Elspeth, yeah. There's some cards that will also... There's like a white uncommon with heroic that'll put +1/+1 counters on all your creatures.
Yeah.
So that might be good. He also might be decent if your opponent just has a lot of stuff that you want to chump. He's not too good if your opponent has trample creatures, though.
That's where he's not going to shine. But to be fair, I haven't seen, a ton of trample. I guess Nylea has some. Nylea and her posse.
Yeah.
She's a mythic.
I'm gonna look forward to casting this card. Not necessarily because I think it's great. Because
I think it's fun.
Just
it'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
It'll be entertaining as heck.
Maria? Do you have a card?
I do, and it's another very flavorful card. Pyxis of Pandemonium, aka Pandora's Box, right?
Nice.
Okay, so this is an artifact. It costs 1. Bargain basement. So you can tap it, and each player exiles the top card of his or her library face down, so you don't get to see what it was.
Yep.
Mystery. And that's kind of cool, because this set is all about scry, which is looking at your library and putting it back in a certain order.
Uh-huh.
So you don't get to see. And then you pay
7.
Maybe
you know what card that is.
Maybe
because
you already scryed.
You scryed it.
Oh, good point. Okay. Consider me corrected. You can pay 7 and tap it.
7?
That's a lot of mana,
what?
But I'm telling
we're
you.
We're no longer in the bargain basement.
No, we're
not.
I paid
$1 for these socks, but I paid $7 to get them repaired.
Was it worth it, Ben?
No.
Now we're in Neiman Marcus.
Yeah.
And we are sacrificing Pyxis of Pandemonium. Each player turns face up all the cards that were exiled with Pyxis of Pandemonium and then puts all of the permanent cards among them onto the battlefield.
Yep. So, you can put a lot of shit out?
You don't get all the shit, though, right? You just get your shit?
You just get your shit.
No.
Are you sure?
No. Each player turns up all cards he or she owned, then puts all permanent cards among them onto the battlefield.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get your own
under,
stuff.
You get your own stuff,
yeah,
and your opponent gets their own stuff too.
When I first read this card, I thought it was you got all their stuff, and then I'm like, this card just wins.
That would be insane.
No, your stuff has to be better than their stuff.
Okay.
And I think that's part of, like, this would couple with Scry well, so that way you're
you know whether you want to do it.
Exiling.
Guys, this card is no good.
Okay. I think it's so funny
It's funny, but. It's not going to be good and limited. You can definitely build a deck around this card.
It's a flavor party.
Yeah, it's a flavor party, and you guys are all invited.
I'm having a flavor party at my place.
Oh,
are you guys going to come?
Yeah.
I was really hoping to see
you
there.
Are we going
to
do body shots?
Oh, I can't make it. All the taste buds were burned off my
it
flavor tongue.
It was a horrible accident.
It was a horrible accident.
Fine. Yeah.
But I'm waiting for a transplant.
I lit a match in its mouth.
Yeah. So sign that, check that organ donor box. Maybe I'll get your taste buds.
All right, so Ben says this card stinks. Yeah. But I think it's kind of fun.
Stinks but fun.
Stinks and fun. It's stinks just like fun. Your first stinks girlfriend. It's
stinks, but she's a good time.
Super fun, but man.
Super fun.
Man, you pay the price.
Ben, what's your Theros card of the week?
My Theros card of the week is Dauntless Onslaught. This card is maybe a little unassuming. It is a 3-mana white instant, and it says up to 2 target creatures each get +2/+2 until end of turn. It's maybe a little boring, but I think this is going to be a very high pick, you guys.
Why?
Nice.
Because it's going to trigger a lot of heroic shit.
You're right.
Because yeah, it can target multiple creatures.
2 creatures.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was the name again?
Dauntless Onslaught.
Dauntless Onslaught.
Dauntless Dauntslaught.
Dauntless
Dauntslaught. Slauntless Gauntslaught.
Bauntless Bauntslaught.
Dauntless Dauntslaught is a character from a Jane Austen novel. He has no female relatives.
Dauntless Dauntslaught. Hello, is this Dauntless's bedroom door?
Oh my, this is quite irregular.
I'm so sorry, it's just that I won't tell you how I feel.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave Dauntslaught Manor immediately.
But I love no one. Nobody. What do you love? Nobody.
How dare you? So familiar.
Oh, sorry.
Will you marry me?
You guys, who said Jane Austen was dead? She lives.
She lives on in our hearts.
And minds.
Yeah.
And our gut instincts.
If you guys have a favorite Theros card of the week, why don't you tweet it at us? We're at MTAcast on the Twitters.
Yeah.
Shove it in our face where we can't ignore it, and then we'll begrudgingly give you our opinions about it.
Wow.
With a smile emoticon.
Oh, okay.
Ben's not bitter.
Nope, not even a little bit.
Megan. You've been going to some FNMs.
I have.
That stands for Friday Night Magic, or for nummy Mexican cakes.
For nightly Mexican cakes.
Oh, okay. So I thought it meant nummy. Sorry, my bad.
That's okay. But in this case, I've been going to Friday Night Magic, and last week I played a.
What was the format?
Oh, it was standard.
Okay.
It was standard, so it was constructed.
And this? 60 card decks.
60 card decks. That's you weird. Guys, they're that so hard weird. For my little weird. Hands to shuffle. They're so hard for my little hands
to shuffle. To sort them out into 8 piles.
I know listener, how you feel.
Listener, I know you can't see, but I have chubby little hands.
Infant she has, hands.
Her hands are the size of Peter Dinklage.
Imagine Peter Dinklage's baby. That's the size of her hands.
I don't think his baby is any smaller than a normal baby.
Yeah, but regardless. But
imagine his puppy. Peter Dinklage's puppy.
That's my hand.
That's the size that's of the hands hand. We're talking about.
Yep, that is true.
So small.
That is true.
So tiny. All women who may have smaller hands.
Here we go.
As a female magic player.
As a female magic player.
I feel your pain. It is hard to shuffle a 60 card deck.
Would you guys say the size of decks is the biggest barrier to entry for women in magic?
I would say the size of a deck is the
biggest barrier.
I will
to
take
entry
any size deck
for female magic players.
No, right.
There's lots of other stuff like personality.
Right. Yeah.
Personality mm-hmm. is usually a number big one. Barrier to
Have
entry.
Have you guys ever shuffled a Battle of Wits deck?
I don't know that game.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on.
So, Megan, this is right before we're going to do a set rotation, meaning Innistrad stuff's going to get out.
Yeah, and so I've just been trying out a bunch of stuff that still has Innistrad block and M13 block cards. Last week, I played Bant Hexproof, which was a little bit of a shit show.
What the what?
Bant Hexproof is primarily blue. Blue aligned, but with white and green as additional little side colors.
Mm.
Hexproof means that it can't be targeted by spells or ability your opponent controls.
Okay.
So you get out some hexproof dudes and you put a lot of auras on them and you hit them.
I have a question.
Maria has a question.
So is it really tough when you, so this is your first Friday Night Magic you went to last week.
Yeah.
Was it really tough? Did you have to stop and read all the cards your opponents were playing? I mean, you have to know a lot of cards.
No, I have to say there were not a ton of Innistrad cards.
Okay.
That I saw being played.
Yeah.
And the
there
ones.
There are a lot of cards when I've played Standard, there's a lot of cards where it's like, oh, well, I just don't see this card that often. Or if it's being played because it's not played in limited.
Right.
Or if it is played in limited, it's for a different reason. So, yeah. For example, like, you'll see a lot of Planeswalkers and stuff, and they'll have to be like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. Which Garruk is this?
That's true.
What does he do? And then, like, what does his ultimate ability do? Because it might actually happen, so I might actually want to know that.
Or, like, Ralzarek.
Yeah.
I don't play with him that much. Yeah. So... I don't necessarily know. So there was that. I do have to say Planeswalkers, that's a good point. But other than that, like, there were a couple of things. Like, I get mixed up with my Restoration Angels and then the Angel of Serenities.
Yeah.
Sometimes they cast one and I'm like, you're gonna exile some shit, but then they don't because it's the other one and I'm like, oh, never mind.
But then they do exile something. But then it comes back.
Yeah. Exactly. You get what I'm saying.
All those angels, they're just all the same.
All those angels, God, they just... They come into my life, and they just take things.
But once you get used to the cards...
Yeah.
It's kind of like living in Denver. Once you get used to the altitude, it's just normal. That's just normal. How your life is.
You're used to putting in that extra flower.
And then also, much like Denver, it's just the same shit over and over, because...
Same shit over and over.
You're playing a lot of very similar decks...
Denver, man.
Yeah, fucking Denver.
I've heard it's a lovely city.
It is lovely. I've been there.
I have family. So I'm not going to talk much about Bant Hexproof because that was mostly a goofy thing I was doing.
Goof true.
And I thought it was mostly silly. This week, I'm really excited. I'm playing green-white elves.
This is your colors, Megan.
Yeah, green-white. Totally my colors.
And your people. And my people, the elves.
Small-handed elves.
They need them so they can so they can fletch those bows and arrows.
Manipulate holes in trees.
Really, Maria?
Because you're going to get the honey out of the sacred tree.
Yeah. Can't get my stubby finger in this tree hole.
Oh.
Can we get one of your elf friends over here to put their finger in my tree hole?
I'm a small elf. Show me your tree holes.
Oh, it's right here.
Okay, that's not a tree hole.
Oh.
That's...
Well, I gotta go.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I'm gonna finger this poplar.
So what's in this elf?
So this elf, there are a lot. There are four Arbor Elves from M13.
Is this deck going to make a lot of mana?
It is. Arbor Elves, untap a forest that you can tap it again. Elvish Mystic, which taps for a green mana.
Okay.
Elvish Archdruid, which taps and you add as much green mana at a green mana for each elf you control.
What?
So sometimes you tap that bitch for like four mana, man.
Holy balls.
It's amazing. There's Avacyn's Pilgrim. He's not an elf, but he taps for a white mana.
Might as well be an elf.
Yep. Elvish Visionary, who enters the battlefield and you draw
a card. Nice art on that.
Yeah. So this is pretty sweet. Today I had the pleasure of playing this deck and having it work perfectly, by which I mean I had a Wolfear Silverheart, which is one of the big creatures that it plays. So the deck plays a bunch of little mana dudes, these elves, and then it backs it up with a couple of big fucking creatures. So I had three lands, three Elvish Mystics, and a Wolfear Silverheart.
Mm-hmm.
So it went turn one Elvish Mystic, turn two more Elvish Mystics, so that now on turn three, I can tap for six mana.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just baller, man.
How do you stop that train? That's pretty crazy.
I mean, it doesn't always... That was a shrivel. Perfect scenario.
Shrivel.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
That's Although, in a lot of decks, Ben.
Elvish Archdruid does give all your elves +1/+1, so they're not as vulnerable to that.
This deck looks like a lot of fun, actually.
It is a ton of fun. And then there's also... and it backs it up with Garruk Collar of Beasts, which is the M14 Garruk, Which again, you can cast that, man, you can cast that dude on turn three. He's a six drop. You can cast him on turn three.
The our version of this card is Eric. Caller of bees. he's a beekeeper.
Damn, Eric, hauler of bees.
Whenever I see that come down, I'm just like, fuck.
There's going to be so many bees.
Scoop. Or he's going to take all my bees away. He's always moving bees around.
His minus three ability is put 10 bees. That's a 1/1. 10 bees. But they all have...
It's just put 10 bees. That's all it says.
Put 10 bees.
But where?
You can give them to your opponent or you, but they have poison on them.
Put 10 bees.
Poison one. One poison counter if you get hit with them.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds super dangerous.
That sounds overpowered.
Okay, that's his ultimate.
Okay. Yeah.
Put 10 bees. Ultimate.
Put 10 bees.
We assume the player knows what we mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see you've got a bunch of tiny elves, and you've got a bunch of like mid-range creatures, like the five drops.
The silver hearts, which is makes a 4/4. Things
huge. The Hydra, Colonian Hydra.
Yep.
Which comes in with a bunch of counters, makes things huge. The Smiter.
But this is, Loxodon Smiter, who is really a small dude in this deck, man. He's just a little 4/4.
Just a 4/4.
But the real linchpin, which I love.
The finisher.
Is a Craterhoof Behemoth.
Yeah.
It runs four of them.
This guy's saucy.
Oh, man.
He's so saucy. He's a big game in Momir Basic as well.
I believe
it. Wow, so five green.
Yeah, he costs eight. But imagine you're getting all
your... And he's just a 5/5.
You're getting all your mana dorks out on time. You're casting this dude turn four, turn
he
five.
He looks so scary in his picture, in his school picture.
Maria, are you ready for this?
Yeah, go.
You cast him for five green.
He has haste.
Oh my God.
And he, all of your creatures...
When
he enters the battlefield, all of your creatures get plus X, and trample, where X is the number of creatures you control.
Oh, shizbot!
So if I used four, if I have four mana dorks out,
yeah,
they all just got
+5/+5,
and trample.
Megan, I hope you destroy with this, because this looks epic.
I mean, it has to work out right.
Yeah, but, it does have to work out right. He finishes a lot of Momir Basic games because there'll be a lot of games where there's just like 10 creatures out and no one can really do anything. And it's like,
but then this dude comes along.
Now everything is +10/+10 and trample.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm just dead. Anyways, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to play this.
I have a question.
Yes.
How did you figure out the stick?
That's super simple. I went online to Star City Games. I clicked on deck lists up at the top. And then they have them divided by standard and legacy. Mm. And I clicked on a standard open, and then I scrolled through the decks until I found one that sounded good. Someone recommended this one to me.
Yeah.
Because they know that I like green white.
Yeah. So this is the kind of deck where maybe you have to think about what do I want to keep in my opening hand. Like, that's pretty important.
Yeah, it is very important. If you don't have any mana dorks in your hand, don't keep it.
Don't keep it,
honey.
Don't
keep it, ma'am. You're not going to be able to...
Don't look at that hand and think, oh, man, I just have to wait until turn eight, and then I can cast this Craterhoof Behemoth.
That's not going to work. And that actually brings us to an email that we got.
Sure.
That we're gonna reply to.
Send us an email, magicthemetering@gmail.com.
Yeah. This email...
Is this from a listener, or is it from our landlord?
Both. I mean,
we all live in a house together.
Yeah.
It's
teetering over the edge of a cliff, and so often our landlord will email us
and be like, could you
push some of your stuff over to the one corner of the house that's not teetering over the cliff?
We don't want to listen to that guy.
And we're like, listen, we're going to live how we want to live.
It's our life. And Ben hogs the hot tub.
Damn it, Ben.
Guys, I'm sorry. I need room for my swollen hands.
So gross. So this email is from Tom, our landlord, and he says, I was wondering if you guys would tackle the subject of effectively using expensive cards, which he's here using to mean high casting cost cards.
Mm-hmm.
And he says his friend is of the opinion that anything that is a 5+ drop needs to be a you cast this and win this turn type scenario.
Mm.
And he was then saying this, that card, the card that prompted me, the, I can't read like a motherfucker.
It's okay. Just sound it out.
The card that prompted the question is Primeval Bounty, which is a 6-drop.
Yeah.
I run a green-white populate deck with a playset of Parallel Lives. So Primeval Bounty, a 6-drop that creates tokens, adds counters, and regains life, seems to be nearly a cast and win type scenario. But is this a card that I'm ever going to actually be able to get out of my hand? Worth having a playset of in a deck? And I think the key word that he used there was the nearly when he said that.
Nearly.
When he says it's a Primeval Bounty in standard, he's saying it sounds like a nearly cast and win type situation.
Yeah.
I would say I don't know that well. I know that in limited, if someone passes you a Primeval Bounty or if you open a Primeval Bounty, take it. Take that shit.
Yeah.
That card in limited is a total boss.
Especially because M14 is slow.
Yeah. M14 is slow enough that you're going to be able to play that sucker and you're going to get a lot of value out of it.
And I think the speed of the format is something that matters a lot.
Yes. I've had a standard or a limited game where I was playing a Primeval Bounty and I was like a turn from losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped Primeval Bounty and came back and won the game.
Yeah.
Like, it is that important.
But is it that powerful in standard?
Ben, thoughts?
I don't know standard well enough to know how fast the format is. And then also, it really depends on how many answers are there for enchantment type effects. Like, is your opponent just going to be able to kill
sideboard
it?
Sideboard something in and get
or, like, are you just going to make a lot of beasts and then they're going to Supreme Verdict and destroy your creatures anyway? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as good as it is in just M14 limited.
Yeah.
But I think it's still pretty good in certain decks. It gives you a certain amount of inevitability. And the main reason is because it makes all of your draws do extra stuff. Like, doesn't matter if you draw a land, a creature, or a spell.
Mm-hmm. No matter what you draw, it's
going to do something awesome. Value. Yeah.
I would say in a deck like this one that I'm running, it might have a home because you're going to be able to cast it early.
Yeah.
Again, you can look at being able to cast that on turn 3.
Yeah.
If you're getting all the guys out that you need to get out.
Yeah.
And he's going to really do a lot of work for you.
Yeah.
If you get it out on turn 3.
I don't think that strictly any, 5 mana plus spell has to absolutely win you the game.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
but I think it they should represent something that your opponent is forced to deal with.
Yes.
Right? It has to be either some kind of threat that is going to force, like a Colonian Hydra, where your opponent just has to find a way to kill us or they're just going to die.
Yeah, or else they're going to die.
Or it has to be something like a Wrath effect, where it's just an awesome sweeper that's going to turn the game in your favor in some way.
Yeah. I would say you just need to look at, is it doing the job that it needs to do?
Yeah.
And again, part of the thing that's happening with this deck, why I chose to play Green-White Elves this week, is because this is a deck that isn't going to be super viable after set rotation.
Yeah.
Because you're losing so many of the mana dorks. You're losing that Elvish Archdruid, who's the one who you can tap for an amount of mana equal to the number of elves you control. You're losing Arbor Elf. You're losing Elvish Visionary. Like, you're not going to be able to cast the big stuff early.
Yeah.
And that's really what makes this deck work. Unless, is that I'm not casting Craterhoof on turn 8, I'm casting it on turn 5.
Think about Theros, maybe you'll get a mana dork in Theros.
Maybe. We can hope so, right?
Yeah.
We can sure hope so, and then maybe this will continue to be something. But it would really have, Elvish Archdruid doing a ton of work.
Yeah.
So I would say Primeval Bounty, if you can look at getting it out early, it's going to be able to do a lot of work. But if you cast it on turn 6 in a standard game, there's just a chance that, one, you're not going to have that much in your hand to be able to get the most value out of it. And you might, there's more powerful spells.
Yeah. It seems like it might be okay against, a control deck.
Totally.
Where if you can get it out, then you're going to be able to get a lot of extra value over the long game.
Yeah.
But, if you're playing against a deck that is playing 1-drops and 2-drops or, burning, what's the guy?
Burning Tree Emissary.
Burning Tree Emissary on turn 2.
Mm-hmm.
then it's like, what, whoa, no, I'm in trouble.
Yep.
Because you will not be alive to cast it. Probs.
Probs. Probs, man.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
That's that, man.
You have my permission to cast 6-mana spells. Do what makes you happy. You're into 6-mana spells, marry a 6-mana spell. Just because your parents want you to marry a 3-mana planeswalker doesn't mean you have to.
I do have to say, Elvish Mystic, still an M14 card, so if you're going to think about doing a Primeval Bounty, put some accelerants in there.
Put some Mystics in there.
Put some Mystics in there.
Maybe a Mana Weft.
Yeah, Mana Weft Sliver. There you go.
Everybody, Euphemism of the Week is happening right now.
Woo!
Hooray! I didn't even notice. It snuck up on me.
I know, it always does. we have a newly spoiled Theros card.
Yeah.
For our Euphemism of the Week. It is Prognostic Sphinx. And this is a card that I mentioned on Twitter. It looked a lot like Santa.
It really does.
Or Dumbledore. But this euphemism is a Prognostic Sphinx. So this is your girlfriend. Like if you're a lady, your friend who's a girl.
Yeah.
Who always knows.
Girlfriend.
Not like your girlfriend. Your girlfriend who always knows when your date's going to want anal.
Sounds like more of a prognostic sphincter.
Whatever, Ben. You gotta take what I get. I've got this friend. She's a total prognostic sphinx. She knows. She knows. Every time.
She can take one look at the guy.
She's right.
She can take one look at the guy and she knows.
She can look at half a text message from a guy and just she calls
knows.
It with
she
100.
She knows.
Literally 100% accurate.
She's like, he's trying to get in your butt.
Yep.
But don't you think, Maria, that if your friend tells you that, you're going to have that in your mind so much and that just the
it's
actions.
It's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Just the way you talk.
Prophecy?
Like through the course of the date, you're going to be sub-communicating.
What kind of things am I going
to
be doing?
To the person.
Like I'm going to order 2 oranges for dinner.
What?
Like,
I'm going to go with Ben on this
maybe
one.
Maybe you order the pork buns.
Is that a food? Pork buns?
It totally is.
Yeah. You've never had pork buns, right?
It's
pork
buns.
Steamed buns. Yeah, you'll probably you'll probably put on this act at the restaurant too. Oh my gosh, I've never heard of pork buns before. Do you like pork buns? It'll be like,
I
oh
really
god,
I feel like pork buns
god.
Tonight.
The only way I'm gonna get a second date is if I ask her for butt stuff.
Yeah, she's like the guy. I basically forced his hand.
Yeah, you forced his hand.
Well, not his hand so much as
yeah.
Okay,
exactly. So I just want you to think. Just want you to think about that.
Okay.
Next time you're in one of these nightmare scenarios that you seem to get yourself into so frequently. Oh my gosh! I snuck a peek at her diary once, you guys, and I'm no longer the same.
Oh my god.
Normal things no longer turn me on.
Tell me about it.
Yep. You guys, just real quick. I think we need to flesh out Eric Collar of Bees. He's the total nerd of our planeswalker gang.
I think we need to flush out this image from our mind.
Eric, Collar of Bees. Bees!
Holler of Bees.
Holler.
Oh, I thought it was Collar of Bees.
No, he hauls them.
He's a hauler of
bees. He has a pickup truck that he's always driving around town, and there's always bees leaking out of it.
He's dressed in one of those beekeeper suits all the time.
So he's definitely a white planeswalker, right?
He totally is.
No, he's green. He's green.
Oh.
He's always like out of nature.
Nature.
You guys, he's totally the outcast. Like, Johnny Goldmane won't have shit to do with him. He's like, no.
He's a real advocate of the bees.
How is he going to call bees if they're green? They can't fly.
Bees, actually, there are some bees that are green that fly.
Oh, really?
Yavimai bees.
Okay. He's going to call, what was his ultimate? Call 10 bees. No, put 10 bees.
Put 10 bees.
Put 10 bees.
So what's his plus one ability?
His plus one ability is put 1 bee. His minus 3 is destroy target bee.
What good does that do?
It's really good.
Once
it's really good in the mirror.
Maria, I don't care if you're a hauler of bees. Sometimes you can't control the bees and you need to be able to get rid of them.
That's a good point. As we learned from the Wicker Man, sometimes
a bee gets out of control, you got to put him down.
Bees!
I'm really proud of my poison counters from those bees, FYI.
I think there needs to be an element of randomness to bees.
Sure,
Like, every turn...
Yeah.
It becomes, like, a different power and toughness.
No, I think
roll
it,
a die.
It flips control.
Yeah.
They're not, like, it flip for each...
Okay, you have to roll a 10-sided die for your 10 bees that you've put.
No. It works like this.
Okay.
For each bee, you have to roll a die. If it's 1 through 4,
you keep the bee.
But if it's 5 or 6, your opponent gets the bee.
This is very red. That's a very red type ability.
I don't care.
What if
I don't
he's
care.
Green red?
What if? How about this? His plus one is each player gets a bee.
Okay.
His minus. He's got a minus two that says, until next turn, prevent all damage that would be dealt to you or planeswalkers you control by bees.
Guys, I love our new planeswalker.
And then, I really love Eric.
And then
his
ultimate is put 10 bees.
Put 10 bees.
So far on Create a Card on this show, we've made two planeswalkers and our wonderful set of cards.
Yes.
Eric Haller of Bees and Johnny Goldmain.
Johnny Goldmain.
What about Ace Bellerin?
Ace Bellerin.
We have... Oh, listener, if you've been keeping up with our Create a Card, congratulations. We've made some good stuff over the years.
But wait, I think Johnny Goldmain is just a creature. I think he's a creature.
A Johnny Goldmain is a planeswalker.
He's deaf.
Are you sure?
Deaf a planeswalker.
Yeah.
He's the white planeswalker.
It's a switchblade bitch, and he gets to attack people with Intimidate.
Oh, the card we made?
Yeah.
Oh.
Our listener made us a
maybe
card.
Maybe his That's spark fair. Will ignite, and the next okay. version will
That's
be a planeswalker.
Okay. So you guys, if you want to listen to our show, there's so many ways. One of those ways.
You can do it in a tree.
you can do it on a boat. You can do it in a tower.
You can do it in a moat.
You can share your earbud with the person next to you, and then maybe you don't know that person, but now you do because you're sharing something in common. And you have something to talk about because you stuck something in their ear without asking.
Oh, story of my life.
Yeah.
One of those ways, which does not involve earwax disease, is iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes, peeps.
Yeah.
And if you do, and if you leave us a review, we will do a pun on your iTunes username.
It's true.
We will.
It's true.
We've got three new ones.
We'll give you some tips for how to deal with excessive earwax, because that's something my family has struggled with for a long time. It's genetic.
For sure.
I understand. Yeah. Our first review has been submitted by CK Buffalo.
You can get like a scoop to like scoop it out.
Gross.
But you have to be careful. You can easily get an ear infection.
Gross.
You can also get like a softener that'll like soften it and then you can just pour it out.
Yeah. My grandma did that.
Yeah. I think we'd get along.
CK Buffalo.
CK Buffalo. Hey, does that stand for Country Kitchen Buffalo? Because that sounds delicious, but wrong.
Hey, CK Buffalo, does it say Calvin Klein on your underwear? Because if so, you might be Marty McFly.
Hey, CK Buffalo, are you a stand-up show I saw from Louis CK in Buffalo, New York? Because if so, you're well above average.
Hey, CK Buffalo, I think I found a buffalo for you.
What?
Because he...
Seek Buffalo.
He's Seek a Buffalo. He is...
Okay.
He will Seek a Buffalo.
Much like Buffalo Wild Wings, CK Buffalo, after you're done with me, I feel full, and like, I also have to go to the bathroom real bad. Our next review is from Arfental.
Arfental.
I just don't know what to do with this one.
Arfental, are you sure it's not Lunefara? I just said it backwards.
Arfental, you know, I've never met you, but I'm sure it'll happen arfentually.
I was going to say, your review was very arfentual. I read it eventually. Fuck. No,
I'd love to
get some candles. And light them, and then just have a nice, arfentual dinner.
Sensual?
Yeah,
Got it.
Arfentual, I wish that you hadn't put your name down as an anagram, because I'm terrible at those.
Our final review is from Jason14.
Turnful? Is that what it's an anagram for?
I don't know.
Yep, turnful. Jason14, do you... Nope.
Hey, Jason 14, is it a sin to like your review so much? Because if so, I'm going to hell.
Hey, Jason 14, I hope you're not 14, because then giving you a J would be a sin.
And that's what you listeners stick around for.
And by J, Ben just means a job. It is illegal to hire anyone under the age of 16.
I definitely meant a job.
Just a job.
Just a job.
A JJ, a just job.
Just a job.
Just a job, JJ.
What kind of job? Just a job.
Just a job.
Well, everybody.
What did that woman at the coffee shop give you?
She gave me a JJ. She hired me to work at the coffee shop.
Good. Good. I'm happy for you.
I am disappointed. I mean, I'll take it, but you know.
Yeah.
Rather have the real thing.
That's our show for this week.
Yep.
Yep.
I hope you've enjoyed it.
I hope you've spent the whole hour and you didn't just skip to the end.
Yeah.
To hear me give away the secret code to our for sure. fortress.
And if you miss that code,
Hey, you guys.
What?
If you're not listening to this podcast.
What?
Yeah.
Then you're not hearing this.
This sentence isn't making sense. I'm just going to be like, hey, we post this.
Don't lie. Don't lie. We'll know if you're listening, but you just pretend not to.
We're like, I don't know where you're listening to this from, but there's an article that Maria will post this week on TheMeatery.
You guys, it's true.
So if you go to TheMeatery.org, you can both listen to and download read. This podcast and read a Maria's
And
article.
Then also, you can write us and we'll send you like a little fragrance stick that smells like Maria. So you can listen
and smell me.
And look and smell.
And my article's in 3D.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It's in 3D. Right. It's about a crazy ass deck I built in Draft.
Oh.
That was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
And you can also check out our podcast on our website, magicthe-amateuring.com, in addition to TheMeatery.org, which is, by the way, a big social network for magic. So sign up if you want to chat about magic.
Yeah.
You can find us on MTGcast as well, iTunes, as we said before.
Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter, at MTAcast. You can follow us there and tweet things at us, and you can hear like little snippets of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful.
We put like any big moments like graduation, birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Ben's going to have a birthday.
Divorces.
Any day now.
We put them up there, yeah. Any day now, yeah.
I actually
divorced super soon.
Super soon. We're going to put super that up. Soon.
5 short months.
It'll be a good time. I posted a link today to the card with the flavor text I think best describes Ben.
I like that. It is.
Was it accurate?
Does. It is very accurate. I read it and I was like,
okay, we're not going to tell you what it is. Go follow us on Twitter. I'm trying to get to 300 followers.
We're so close.
We are pretty close.
We're 12 away.
And if you want to check out our new theme song, go to our website, magicthe-amateuring.com. We'll post the whole thing up there. You can listen to it all day and all night while you're in the tub.
Put it on repeat.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
We enjoyed
Bye,
having guys. You as our guests and us as your hosts.
I was the host, you guys.
I was the host.
Okay.